wanted to, I have a few quotes, I think, four quotes I just want to read off today and show these. My father used to say that it's never too late to do anything you wanted to do. And he said, you never know what you can accomplish until you try. Michael Jordan. Next one. When a father gives to his son, both laugh. But when a son gives to his father, both cry. William Shakespeare. My father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. Jim Valvano. I've said it before, but it's absolutely true. My mother gave me my drive, but my father gave me my dreams. Thanks to him, I could see a future. Liza Minnelli. We're still in our Dreamer series. And today, I really believe the title encapsulates what a father is. The title of the message is Fulfilling Dreams in Others. Can you just say that to your neighbor? Just say, Fulfilling Dreams in Others. Fulfilling dreams in others. Up to this point, we've been focusing on really fulfilling dreams, our own dreams. It's been about our dreams, doing our dreams, how we can accomplish and learning to dream again and all of the above. But today, it's really about fulfilling dreams of other people. Do you know Joseph? He was given dreams about the brothers bowing down and then passing out the food. Did you know the dream he had wasn't for him? It was fixing a famine that his family was in. It was fulfilling their dream. How many people, have you ever had your child have a dream? Like, you can raise your hands, yes? Martin raised his hand, what? We're gonna talk about that, but. Like, you've had a child have a dream. You know, and then the younger they are, the sweeter the dream is, right? Like, it's just, I wanna be able to fly. Okay. Go for it. You know, my daughter, she has just wonderful dreams at the age of 3 and 4, and her dreams are to go on dates with me to the movies. And it's precious. Like, I can fulfill that dream and come out like a superhero, you know? Like, there is no dream that I have that will give me more joy than fulfilling her dream at this age, at this moment. You know, I get more joy out of fulfilling my daughter's dream than my own dreams. Isn't that interesting? My son, he can't really speak yet. He has, a word? One word that kind of deviates in and out. It's just, ah. it's ah, and what he points at, and you know. So he'll be sitting there, and he'll see at a restaurant, a waitress will pass by with a thing of bread, and he'll see it, and go, ah. We're like, can we get some of the bread? he's content. But his dream, one of my favorite dreams he has through the words of is when I come home after work, you know, after a bunch of hours, I walk into the door, and wherever he's at in the house, he'll book it. Even though he can't, like, fully walk yet, he does the whole E.T., like, shamble. And whatever he has in his hands, he makes it to me, and he's like, Like, he wants to play with me and spend time with me, and he wants nothing more than just to hug me. Like, that's his dream at this age of almost 1. Thanks. He did it. But fulfilling dreams in others. Joseph had a dream that he wanted to fulfill in his brothers. He didn't know it was for his brothers at the moment. And how would you like to have a dream for someone else, to fulfill their dream, and then try to kill you, throw you in a hole, and tell your dad that you died? Like, I wouldn't want that, you know? Like, that's Joseph's spot. He has this horrendous family situation where he comes out saying, I still am going to fulfill their dreams. It's interesting, when you fulfill someone's dream, you're usually faced with a couple things. You're faced with challenges, and you're faced with forgiveness. And in today's message, I want to break down those and just look at how Joseph dealt with that. So facing challenges. The first one is a challenge of faithfulness. Challenge of faithfulness. Everyone say challenge of faithfulness. It's hard sometimes to be faithful in the cards you've been dealt in your life. It's hard in certain situations. It's hard, you get something you didn't expect to get that. It's hard to fulfill that. It's hard to follow through on that. It's hard to go through that. I was talking to this one pastor, and he had he was moving to a new location, and he had this gorgeous tree in the back of his house. And if you're a gardener or if you're a garden dad, and you just know, you fall in love with a certain plant or a certain tree, right? And he was saying, like, I wanted to take that tree with me to my new place. I've spent 20 years of my marriage on this tree, and it's gorgeous. I want to move it. So he had a gardener come out and said, okay, what do I have to do to move this tree? And he said, this tree can be moved one time and still live, still thrive. It really, if you move it from place to place to place and place to place, it's going to end up dying. It can't handle that shock. It can't remain to be fruitful and faithful in all that it is. It might be able to happen once, but it'll never again reach the full potential that it is right now. Being fruitful where it's at. Do you know that the sons of Joseph, interesting group, they were frustrated and complaining that they didn't have enough land, and so they were complaining and to Joshua and saying, we just want more land. We don't have enough space. We're growing. We need more land. And so Joshua, I love Joshua's response. You got what you got, so fix it up and clear out the land that's right next to you. No one's inhabiting it. Why don't you be faithful to what you've been given? You have this area, so start clearing it out and expand where you're already at. They weren't really happy by their response, but they ended up doing it. Are you faithful in that area that you're at? When it comes to fulfilling the dreams of others, you have to remain faithful with where you're at. Have you ever been to like a barbecue, like a child's barbecue or a friend's barbecue or Thanksgiving, and you see all the food just grilling up and the smoke is coming and all the stuff. Some of you guys are thinking about the barbecue later today. It's all right. And you know that moment where you start like piling up your plate and your eyes are like bigger than your stomach? Does anyone know what I'm talking about here or not really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Andy was like the first truthful person. No smile, just hand raised all the time. It's like, are you willing to take what's yours? Are you looking at everyone else's? Are you going to be faithful with what you've taken? Or is it going to go to waste? What is it? Number two, the challenge of morality. Everyone say challenge of morality. Joseph faced morality, and I know my wife touched on that a lot last week. Morality. Potiphar's wife kept chasing after this kid to get, this is kind of like an R-rated part, but that's okay. It's trying to get him into bed over and over and over and over. And he kept saying no. A kid kept saying no. It's crazy. You know, and it reaches this point. How do you say no in a yes world? We're in this world that's just so convoluted with just stuff. And a lot of times, Christians and people that are just trying to live out their lives think that it's about saying no and turning from what's there. But in reality, it's not just turning from something that's going to pull you on an unmoral road, but it's actually turning to God. It's not turning from something, it's turning to God. That's the goal of it. That's what morality is. It's not about just saying no, 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 like a broken record. So saying, man, God has a life for me. Is this part of it or not? That's what it is. I was trying to think of a story with morality, and I was thinking about back in college. Has anyone ever been in high school, college, and there was maybe like a test or a paper that maybe you went inside the gray lines and maybe cheated a little bit? Martin's honest. Just, no one else. Everyone's like, I had this one class and it was coming to a close, and I remember we had it. It was what was it? It was not preaching, but it was like preaching papers. So you have to write out an entire sermon word for word and then like turn that in, and that was your final project. I'm good at talking. I'm just not good at writing. So it was a jumbled mess. I didn't even proofread it. So sorry, David. David cringed at that. So I'm sitting there typing, and I'm pretty fast typing, and I'm getting it done. And I remember, I missed part of the story. The final paper was due, and I learned the final paper was due, and so I went from that class to the library to type it up. Started typing it up, missed the final paper, and I'm like, I need to do this. I need to turn this in. Oh my goodness. So I'm writing a sermon from scratch in the library, like making it up as I go, as fast as I can. This is all sorts of bad. Typing up. And I still remember what the message was about. I don't know. There's some message I don't remember, but this one I still remember. It was the philosophy of a dung beetle. I don't know. It was just there. And there's these beetles that like walk backwards with a ball of stuff. And I was just writing about how some Christians will carry around what's not good for them. And anyways, I wrote this whole thing on it. And I went to the teacher, and I walked in, and he goes, "Oh man, I'm so glad you're here. Hey, I lost your paper from class till now. It's my fault. I'll give you an A on it." And I was like, "Really?" And it was at that moment I was like, "Do I give him this paper about dung, or take the easy A on this class?" And so I remember sitting there, it was just in silence. He's like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Here's my paper. I was supposed to turn it in, and I didn't, so I just wrote it now, and I'm sorry." And I turned it into, and then weeks later, he came up to me, and it was after semester, we were getting our grades, and I was like, "Hey, you gave me an A on this class. I definitely know that paper was not an A at all." He goes, "You know what? I was just so enamored. I thought it was so funny how you turn in a paper on stuff, and it was filled with stuff, but you came clean and you told the truth about it." He goes, I gave you an A on it." And I was like, "Thank you. I'll take that A. I'm going to leave now." And I just remember that. In a world of morality. Number three. The challenge of indulgence. The challenge of indulgence. I want to say challenge of indulgence. Joseph faced this when he was in jail. He had nothing. I don't know what you really have in jail as like things to carry around, but he probably had a rock that he talked to named Wilson. I don't know. It was a clever joke. I don't know what he had in jail necessarily to talk to, play with, but he had nothing. He went from the jail with nothing to the second most powerful person, second most richest person, second most in the world in an instant. And I was thinking about that. We kind of have something similar, but not really, but it kind of equates. It's kind of like the lottery, you know? In an instant, lives can change. Did you know, I read this stat, the National Endowment, I want to read this to get this right. The National Endowment for Financial Education cites research estimating that 70% of people who suddenly receive a sum of money will lose it within a few years. You know, the majority of lottery winners file bankruptcy within 5 years. Is that interesting? More people thrive under adversity and hardship than they do in prosperity. Is that crazy? Well, I just wanted you, I've told God that I can thrive under prosperity. So. I'm just kidding. I've been thinking about it. I heard another quote that it says, for every one person that can thrive in prosperity, 100 people can thrive in adversity. Do you know what the difference is? Because in adversity, the narrow is set before you, and your only way is up. The opposite, in prosperity, really, you're responsible for setting your boundaries. A lot of people haven't been doing that when they're in this shoe. They've allowed the world to set their boundaries. The world to say, you can and can't do this. And then all of a sudden when they're in this, they're, I can do everything. And they can't. And it's gone. The challenge of indulgence. Oh, I love this quote. Very few can dance to the tune of success without the partner of compromise. One more time. Very few can dance to the tune of success without the partner of compromise. Joseph was handed instant prosperity because he was able to handle adversity well. Yeah, it's interesting because in the midst of prosperity, God usually brings people to us that we haven't forgiven. Has anyone felt that or sensed that? It's like all of a sudden you're doing well in your life and then along comes so-and-so. I was happy until you showed up. I'm not looking at my wife, I'm just looking over here. I love you. You know, like, have you ever had that, like, you're having the most wonderful day, you're at the mall, and you walk around, you have your ice cream, you're doing your thing, and all of a sudden so-and-so shows up, and you're like, right? So, the other thing about fulfilling dreams deals with forgiveness. A lot of times, God will have us fulfill dreams in other people, or other people fulfill dreams in us, but there's a barrier of forgiveness in the way. There's something that's just blocking it, something that God is waiting on to happen. There's something so deep about forgiveness. It's not my notes, it's just extra. Did you know, a side note, do you know in Acts chapter 3, I think verse 8, God says, after you've asked for forgiveness, the Holy Spirit will fall upon you? Something to think about. Is that interesting? The power of God is at bay, like a lion or a tiger ready to fall upon you when forgiveness drops. Is that interesting? So many of us have this unforgiveness just waiting us. It takes time to get rid of. I was thinking about, how many people love, this is a segue by the way, how many people love Twinkies?
Oh yeah.
Nancy does not. I have never seen you make that big of a disgusting face. You're like, Twinkies. Who likes Twinkies? But yeah, Twinkies, like, I don't, that is delicious. That is good. I don't know what it is about Twinkies or what on this earth you can mine from the grounds to make it last forever. But like Twinkies and boxes right now will outlive me as a person. I can't comprehend that. That Twinkie's gonna live longer than me. Like, that's crazy. just thoughts I think while writing messages. Unforgiveness is kind of like a Twinkie. It just sits there and sits there and sits there. It doesn't matter if you eat on day one or day 1,000. They're going to taste the same. It's still disgusting. But eventually, it has to be taken down from the shelf and it has to be dealt with. It'll stay up there until you do something about it. Just like forgiveness. It just stays there. There's no shelf life of forgiveness. If you're mad at someone, chances are 10 years down the line, if you see them again, you're going to be mad at them. You might not remember why you're mad at them, about, but you're going to be mad at them. I don't like you. I don't know why. I want to read Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Let me say that again, but replace interests with dreams. Each of you should not look only to your own dreams, but also to the dreams of others. Can you imagine if we had a church that just wanted to fulfill people's dreams? No matter how small, how big, we just wanted to see dreams fulfilled. we found out that a kid just loves little cars and he doesn't have a little car, and we were like, I got you a little car. Can you imagine that? I want to be at that church. I want to be at our church that fulfills dreams. I love that. I love seeing a joy. There's almost more joy that you receive when you're able to fulfill someone's dream than when someone fulfills yours. There's something you get out of it. Something that just rises up in your spirit. Well, let's look at Joseph when his family comes to dinner. Genesis chapter 42, verse 1 through 13. We're going to skip a little bit to 21 through 24. So we're going to read a little bit right now. And we're going to dive into the rest of the message, forgiveness. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you just keep looking at each other?" He continued, "I've heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we may live and not die." Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt, but Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain, for there was a famine in the land of Canaan also. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the person who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. "Where did you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan," they replied, "to buy food." Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Don't miss this part. It gives insight. Then he remembered his dreams. He remembered his dreams. Bowed them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see our land is unprotected. "No, my lord," they answered, "your servants have come to buy food. We're all the sons of one man. Your servants are honest men, not spies." What kind of spies go in a pack, you know? Okay. "No," he said to them, "you have come to see where our land is unprotected." But they replied, "Your servants were 12 brothers." Notice the word, were 12 brothers. "The sons of one man who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and one is no more." One is no more. They're still thinking about it. 20-something years later, they're still dealing with it. 20 years later, they're still dealing with it. I think the interesting, I'm gonna continue on reading in a second. It's interesting to think about. Joseph was thrown in prison for some time, and his brothers have mentally been in prison for their lives. They mentally haven't been able to forgive themselves. They're sitting there dealing with everything they had done, and they think that it's still causing curse on their lives. But unforgiveness. Verse 21, they said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother." Isn't it amazing how long guilt can stay with you? "We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life." They're talking about Joseph when he was in the pit. "But we would not listen. That's why this distress has come on us." Reuben said, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an accounting for his blood." They did not realize that Joseph could understand them since he was using an interpreter. He turned away from them and began to weep, but then came back and spoke to them again. God will use imperfect people to refine dreams in us. Dreams are fulfilled when forgiveness happens. There's just something about it. I was mentioning earlier, there's something that's just linked between God, resources, dreams, and us. And it ties it together with forgiveness. It's interesting, God sent his only son to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. as long as we repent. There's something that just breaks, like a seal that happens. So I want to talk about this. Forgiveness. There are four things forgiveness causes. Forgiveness is an action of grace. Forgiveness is an action of grace. Oh, I totally left out this verse off my notes. Is it on the screen, the next verse? Just the next one up.
You go to Romans next.
I think that's it. Yep. Okay. Go to Romans. For if by the trespass of one man, death reign through that one man, but how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ? There's action involved. It's grace. Forgiveness requires some kind of action, requires something for us to do. Number two, forgiveness is a process of trust. I think for 1 Corinthians 4:2, is that the next one?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do it. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Have you ever, as maybe a child or a parent, has there ever been trust lost? Yes. Like, have you ever, as a child of your parents, done something, and then they say that the faithful, you've betrayed my trust, you've disappointed me, and you're like, ah. Like, you know? And they're like, you need to start earning back your trust. You start that long process. You know, earning back trust isn't just something that just happens just because, right? Earning trust, it takes time. I wasn't going to say this, but I think I'm going to say it anyways. I felt as a pastor coming in that the trust as a congregation to me wasn't instant. I felt like I had to earn it. I felt like I had to take time and show who I was and what my character was and that I would show up every Sunday. That I was here. That I was just praying for you. Trust is earned. Trust is earned. Forgiveness has no time limit. Number three. Genesis 42:21. They said to one another, surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come to us. Forgiveness doesn't have time limit. You know, time doesn't heal all wounds. God heals all wounds. If we really try to expect, you know what, I'll be able to forgive him with time, that's not the case. Twinkies are not the case. It's not about time overlapping. It's about physically and mentally forgiving people in our lives. Forgiving our family, forgiving our fathers, forgiving our children, whoever's hurt us or harmed us. It has no time limit. Number four, forgiveness starts and ends with God. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. I love this quote. Our lives are not defined by our circumstances. They are defined by our decisions. I read this story and I wanted to share it. It's kind of unique. My father at age 75 planted a number of small fruit trees. What an optimist, I said to him, somewhat mockingly. Dad passed away a few years ago. Now when I returned to the old homestead, I had an option. I can go to the grassy cemetery on top of the hill and brood over his grave, or I can eat the fruit of the trees and reflect on a man who knew a great deal about hope. The only way for some dreams to come true is through forgiveness. Forgiveness. We're going to face challenges, sure, but it unlocks your forgiveness. I wanted to ask if you have your notes, go ahead and set them down right now. I'm gonna have us do something kind of unique and special. And Janelle, if you wanna come up on guitar. Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Does everyone have the cardstock paper, the white paper you came in with? If you don't, can you raise your hand? I think David will bring you one. One right there. And go ahead and pass it out. Make sure you have a pen. If you don't, raise your hand. I think there's a couple right there just in case we're going to pass out a pen. John has 20 in his pocket there. He's ready to go. And there's also pens under the chairs. Here's what I want. Everyone close your eyes. Wherever you're at, just be silent before God. Just close your eyes for a moment. Have the paper and the pen in your hand. Close your eyes. Just going to wait for a moment longer. Here's what I want to ask you to do. I want you to take that paper and write a letter as if from your dad to you. From your father to you. Everything that you wish you heard, dreamed you heard, forgiveness that you wish he would say he's sorry for. I want you to write a letter from him to you saying, dear, your name, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for that. And just spend a couple minutes writing and reflecting on it. And then we're going to go into a time of worship. But could you just take a moment right where you're at? Amen. And so I want to challenge you, if you haven't finished or you're saying, I can't start writing this here because I'm going to lose it. I'm not going to be able to finish it today. Would you promise that you'd finish this at some point? Because there's forgiveness that needs to happen.